You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone You. My name's Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 376. Thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate it. Every single time, we appreciate it.
We definitely do appreciate it.
There's a lot of podcasts out there, Paul.
There are. There's a lot of new drone podcasts popping up, too.
Of course.
Big, yeah, absolutely. Shocker. But yeah. You know what? I think that's actually a good thing.
It's a good thing, absolutely. More and more voices, that's not bad at all.
Well, you know, opinions are the easiest commodity to come by.
No doubt.
Anyway, guys,
true.
Welcome to another awesome show. Today, we're talking about business. Today, we are talking about creative control. How much creative control should you really give your clients? What if you have a crazy lady? I could name a few.
I bet.
You remember that lady had the house down in the valley? And I was like, hey, I'm going to shoot this house. I normally let the realtors walk me through the house to show it to me so I can make the vision that they see.
Right.
And she was like, no, just go through, walk through yourself, just take a good look at it, you know.
Don't ever believe that when they tell you that.
That is a trap.
It is a trap. They're coming
anyway,
to get you.
And she wasn't prepared. The dog's running around. The dog was moving in reverse on the shots because I was reversing the shots. So it was a nightmare.
That's actually cool.
It was a nightmare. And
see
then,
if anybody notices that.
And then I can't say that word. She complained. I was using the B word.
I could. Yeah, I'm sure everybody knows
she
that.
She was complaining for quite some time about the organization of the shots, so the chronological order, and then which shots she wanted, and then which type of shots she wanted. So those little $400 or $500 jobs can turn into an absolute nightmare.
Big losers.
So when I work, so go ahead.
I was gonna say, so now somebody comes up to you, let's just say it's a realtor. I have this property, I'd like you to fly it, I've heard you do a good job, you've never worked with them. And you say, okay, well, I need to meet with you and kind of get your vision for the house, and I want to understand the way that you like things to be done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this person says, I trust you, Paul.
Those are my favorite clients.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because I put a form in front of them now, and I say, if you want certain music, here. This is where you can go to get it. What do you want on the video? Titles. You want a certain genre of music, or do you want to pick the music? Because if you want to pick the music, go pick the music. I'm not wasting time picking your music. You go pick your music.
Because you won't like the music I pick anyway.
Exactly. So if someone says that, like, it depends on if it's an established client or a new client. A new client says that, I put a form in their face, and I say, I'm making your video. Unbranded, branded. Where's delivery going? What type of deliverable?
But what if they say, no, Paul. I want you to handle all that. I trust you. I'm going to pay you.
Then I'm literally going to get them to say...
But I don't want to be involved. Will you sign something that they sign something that says, I cannot add my thoughts later?
I just changed the contract to the revision clause on the contract, which says the client waives all rights to revise the video after deliverable.
All right.
So...
Is this all going to be in the real estate videography course?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I only went into on that course that we just shot. I didn't really go into much detail on sales or marketing or pricing. I did go into these issues. I did go into the forms. I did go into how to shoot the homes, close proximity versus land versus ranches and stuff like that. I did not talk about the crazies in the video because that would have taken up a whole new 8 hours of time.
Yeah, no. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like the forms that you're referring to and those kinds of things.
Yes, they are in
that
there.
That members will have access to.
Yeah, the only reason I haven't shared it in the group yet is because I have my version of the form, which is the Paul Did It in Notes form. And then everyone else gets the Paul Did It in Notes, sent it to Tim, our operations officer, who sent it to our graphic designer, who sent it to someone else, who then sent it back to Paul.
Yeah.
So you guys get that version.
Right. Which is the one that you want.
Yeah.
It's worth the wait.
What are you trying
Although
to say
yours
here,
might
Rob?
Be more entertaining.
Oh, mine's definitely more entertaining. There's no doubt about that.
We should get to our question.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and just play the question. Everyone's like, what's the question?
Hey, what's up, Paul and Rob? Corey here, new to your podcast, and I love it, particularly all things business related. I'm a drone business owner here in Northern California and have a business question. When speaking for the first time with a potential client for a possible production, I hear the comment often that goes a lot like this, quote, we've never done anything like this before and are not sure how it works. unquote. So I go through my normal response of explaining a few different options that may appeal to their particular piece of property or vision, and then go from there. However, the problem is they don't exactly know what they want because, like they said, they've never done any aerial imagery before. So my question is this: do you assume creative control for the projects from a drone service newbie? Or do you give them what they want because, after all, they are the paying client? Are there certain aspects about the shoot that you mandate, certain angles or viewpoints that you somewhat insist on? And if they don't know what they want, what questions do you ask them to sort of pull out from them what they're really looking for in their final production? Love you guys. Love the podcast. And all you fellow drone businesses listening, continue to fly safe and let's be good ambassadors for each other and our awesome art of aerial imagery. No haters. Peace.
Best question in a long time.
That was a phenomenal question. Well stated.
Very well,
well
stated.
Articulated. Well thought out.
You can
and
tell
he didn't read it.
You can tell he didn't read it.
And you know, that's okay. I'm if people need to read it, that's fine. But you could just tell that was just well thought out.
It was. And he also said, that. You know, like, let's be good ambassadors for the yep. industry. That's what we're all about. So I think that's amazing. I think what we need to do, though, in order to answer this question is kind of take some assumptions as to, you know, what is the type of production he's talking about. So let's just say it's for a commercial production, a production crew, like he's saying, who's hiring him, meaning they're working on a master project. They've asked him to do aerials. He's doing aerials for them. Okay. So that's the, let's just take that as the general environment in which we're working in.
Can we do environment A and then do environment B after that?
Let's just work on, let's not take the ADD kid and give him a bunch of options right now. It's just
A and B. Go, Paul.
I already lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
No, I'm kidding. So let's take this environment, right? He's working for a production company. They're asking for aerial to see they're new to him, blah, 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 blah. What I do in that situation is I ask them, what are they trying to show? I give them limitations on what I'll shoot, not based on the type of shot, but based on the environment in which it's shot in.
Okay.
Meaning, I will not fly a certain distance to people. You know this. I won't fly over people.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, you know, I say, well, you know, the shots are going to be limited by our ability to get the shots, essentially. Okay. So when they're asking to get something, normally they're trying to get a certain scene. Sometimes they're going to try and achieve not only a certain scene, but a certain feel in the scene.
Sure.
Those people are going to be very specific, right? Some people are going to say, we need a drone up, we want to get establishing shots, B-roll, and we want to shoot this scene. In that case, you're going to have a lot of freedom.
Okay.
The best way that I've seen this work so far is, for example, on a recent shoot, someone was like, we need to just get a car going down a road in 30 different places so we can patch it all together and tell a story.
Okay.
Okay, do you care how I shoot the car? Well, we just kind of want three different angles. Okay, great. Anything else? No. Okay, cool. So what I do is I start to shoot the car. And get it one way, get it going the other way, show them the footage. And almost every single time, they're going to say, well, can you try and do it like this?
Mm-hmm.
So I will do that. There's a point, though. And this is why having that day rate is so important. Because if they spend all of their time telling you how to reshoot the stuff that they want or how to shoot it or whatever, that's fine. They can take all the time in the world. Mm-hmm. But when it's 4:00, I'm out. And I don't care what you've gotten done. You know what I mean? It is not up to me to be your babysitter. So when it comes to creative control in that aspect, I think the best way to do it is, number one, try to figure out what they're trying to show. You know, what are the objectives? What are the goals? What is, you know, the subject?
Mm-hmm.
What story do they want to tell in the subject? Meaning the shot is going to start a narrative and end a narrative. What does that narrative look like? You know what I mean?
Right.
Is someone establishing the scene where they're just pulling up and rolling into the camera? Or is this an establishing scene to end a movie where the car drives into the camera rotates and elevates out to show the big wide distance in the vast desert?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It could literally be the same scene,
sure,
shot different ways to give you a different feel.
Absolutely.
So you want to know what they're trying to accomplish. But again, going back to it, the best way to do this is, one, figure out what they want to shoot, try to shoot that. And then what I always do is offer a, can I have my free reign to do whatever I want? And every single time I've done that, I've made a director happy.
Yeah. I mean, you're telling you, I promise you're going to like what I'm going to do for you. So that is one kind of paradigm where you're on a production, you're on a shoot, those people are going to have a pretty good idea of what they're looking to accomplish. Maybe they don't have the experience with the drone side of it, but they're probably going to have a creative bent. There, at least there will be people that are part of the production that will. And you can kind of communicate how you're going to, as a drone pilot, complement what they're doing. But I kind of think of this question also, Paul, in terms of maybe talking to a construction company or maybe a developer who wants to showcase a neighborhood that they're developing. And you're talking to somebody like that who they don't have production experience, but they're thinking about using drones in their marketing. And I think that might be kind of the person that he's talking to. So take somebody who's developing a neighborhood. They're going to have parks and it's going to be nice, Mesa del Sol style. And you're talking to the people that are running that and trying to get them to use your drone services. And they're the ones that are saying, I don't quite see how it would help me, but I think it would. I think that might be who he's talking about.
Well, if it were Mesa del Sol, it would be a no-fly, so we wouldn't be helping them.
Okay, but, fair enough.
But in that, it's a good example, a good case. I think the best thing to do is just, again, it comes back to the visualization of the client. I mean, the client has to visualize the value you provide. So having examples is a very, it helps out a lot.
That's huge. Because, and so I think that's one of the ways you educate them. You show them the way that other people have used it.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, yeah, I really like that. But what if we did this? So if you can get the conversation started with that kind of stuff,
yeah,
I think you're probably going to be surprised at how much they actually do know about what they want. They just don't know how to get started.
You can also use that timeline and that way to figure out what you're shooting as a way to upsell to the client. I know like this isn't part of the question, but if we're going to talk business here, let's talk business here.
Okay.
You know?
So
if they're trying to figure out what they want to show, you show them a bunch of daylight pictures, you show them some stuff 20 feet above, you know, their main clubhouse building, or 150 feet above the entire neighborhood so they can see everything. And then you show them this picture of a house you took 30 feet above the house during sunset, long exposure with the house lit up like a Christmas tree, and say, you know, I can take your photos during the day, or I can do stuff like this. And I got to tell you, this has been one of my best selling photos ever. People just love the contrast of the photo. It really showcases the beauty of the area. It doesn't look too hot and too deserty. You know, we're getting a lot of color in the sky. It's just a nice high dynamic range photo.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're looking to do those type of photos, it's a little bit more expensive, just so you know, because I have to come out at the very end of the day.
Right.
I have to block off that period of time, you know, and you're getting a much better product. I would love to do that for you. And I think that what you're trying to do, your goal of selling this place out, showing people where they can live, giving them the idea of the neighborhood that they're going to reside in, what it looks like, what it feels like, you know, can they dream and imagine themselves living here?
Yeah.
And I think if you want to showcase that, you're going to want to take the long exposure at sunset.
Sure. So, no, that's a great upsell, but I like
that. And that's going to cost $1,000 more.
I like the phraseology of our goal, because you're working as a team when you're talking to your customer, is to have people see this and say, I got to live there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want people to see, and you want them to want to watch till the end. And so you're telling these people, these potential clients, that you're going to help them achieve that.
Yeah.
Right?
No, totally.
So I don't know. Beyond that, I guess you could take the Apple approach, and Apple says, they don't know what they want. We know what they want. Probably not, huh?
That's what I do for a majority of my clients.
Well, and I think there's something to that, actually.
Well,
people
expect you to be the expert. I mean, people expect you to know what you're talking about. And if you can't show them a variety of images that you've taken that showcase and exemplify different pieces and aspects of the property, if you can't give them a palette to build an image on of what they're looking for, mm-hmm. they're never going to know what they want. And you've got to guide them down that path.
Right.
And I think that the less creative control, the better. I really do believe that.
The less creative control for you want to maintain creative control.
Yes. The less creative control for the client, the better.
Sure.
You will be much happier. And also, you'll be much happier if you record the conversations that you have initially with the client. This is something I do almost every time now. Here's why. Many times, clients have ADD just as bad as I do. and they forget some of the things that they've told me.
Oh, yeah.
So when they've asked me to do things and then say, no, 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 I didn't ask you to do that, you pull out your phone, you pull out the recording and say, you did ask me to do that.
Yeah.
And if you don't want that and you want to do something different, it's going to cost you more, because the way that I do it is if they want to make a change creatively in the video or photos that I'm giving to them, they can do any changes they want.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have to go back out there, they're going to be charged again the same cost as the first job.
Sure. Well, so two things. Number one, it's human nature to hear what we want to hear. I think we're all guilty of that if we're honest. But number two, do you tell them you're recording? I mean...
Well, it depends on what state you live in. Because here in New Mexico, only one party has to know that you're being recorded.
Okay.
So if you and I are having a conversation and I know
being
we're
recorded
being
recorded right now.
Yes, you are. but if we're having a conversation and I know that you're being recorded and that we're having a conversation,
yeah,
then it's legal. I think you will make more clients more comfortable if you just open up and say, hey, I'm going to record this conversation. Sam and I had lunch with one of my big clients in Colorado last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I very openly, I mean, Sam saw it, pulled out my phone, I'm recording this conversation.
Well, and I think, and that's why what I wanted to get at is I would encourage everybody to just be upfront about it. And the way that you present it is going to make it okay or not. I mean, if you just simply say, look, I don't really have, we're not taking notes here, but I want to make sure I capture everything that you want and I don't forget things, that if you put it that way, I think they're going to be fine with it.
You can get some really hyper-conservative people, though, that
probably
get really freaked out about it.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
serious.
And then that tells you a little bit about that person and working with them.
Oh, totally, yeah. But I will say, if someone has an issue with them recording you, you may have other issues with them down the road.
Exactly.
So I've never had a problem, and I've had a lot of clients that I don't have the time to explain that I'm recording, and I just start recording. So,
well, I would reject that premise of I don't have the, I mean, it's
I
like,
reject your premise.
Yes, exactly. It's like 60 seconds. So anyways, but whatever.
I reject your premise and I'm a CYA. That's actually why I record a CYA. You know what CYA means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cover your,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Like the booty that we saw.
Assets.
The booty that we saw in the, yeah. We got a video question and we just got to clean it up a little bit. So it was one of the best video questions I've ever seen.
Yeah, it'll be coming up here later this week.
It definitely
will. You're all going to get to see it, minus the booty.
Minus the booty. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope this answered your question. You really want to maintain creative control. You want to lead them down a path, give them examples so they have some type of image in their head of what they can expect. I think you're going to find the more images you take, if this is for photos, the better, because you'll have more examples of what to give them. But always try to get an idea up front. Don't ever go out there blind unless they are signing off on complete creative control. And most likely you will not get that unless you have an experienced client. I've got a client who literally sends me a check and an address on a weekly basis. So those are nice to have. You know what I mean? And you can build those relationships. Anyway, guys, that's going to do it for us today. Thank you so much for listening in. Don't forget to send in those questions. AskDroneU.com. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you're working on. Anyway, also update on all that 107 stuff. I added more 107 stuff into the DroneU community this weekend. If you didn't look at it, check it out if you're a DroneU member. If you're not a DroneU member, I highly recommend you become a DroneU member, because the amount of information that's organized, even by the people who are not a part of DroneU, they're just in the community, is insane. So you will find resources from all over the net. It's all centralized in one place. It's awesome. I highly recommend you check it out. And with how much we're growing right now, it's insane. And it's really nice to see that so many people are really enjoying it and they're giving us great feedback and testimonials.
It's a lot of fun to be a part of. It's exciting.
It is.
So anyway, join us.
Anyway, guys, please join us. But that's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
I'm Rob.
And this is Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the DroneU.